we have any first-time visitors with us this morning? If you would raise your hand, we have some information about our church we'd like to give you. Any first-time visitors? I don't see anyone, but if you are shy and you're a first-time visitor, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Brother Mike Nelson is going to come at this time and lead us in prayer.
All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be here this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And we have so much to be thankful for. And we just want to start this morning, Lord, and thanking you most importantly for sending your son and down the cross for our sins. Ask if anyone here that doesn't know you today, Lord, that today would be the day they believe you're a child of the King. We just want to ask your special blessings on this service and the offering as well this morning, Lord, that it could be used and to help spread your word around this lost and dying world. We ask all these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. A couple other general announcements. I see them up on the screen from time to time, but if you do have a cell phone, if you would please put it to vibrate or silence it so that it's not disruptive. Also, the nursery is not yet open, so if your child is disruptive, you're welcome to take them to the back of the room, but please still continue to be with us. Take your songbook, turn to page number 269. Let's stand together as we sing "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." 269. Donuts with Dad In honor of Father's Day next Sunday, everyone is invited to the Family Life Center after Sunday school to enjoy a donut and juice with Dad. And at this time, Sister Lois will sing. Take your songbook, turn to page number 286. You may remain seated as we sing the Glory Land Way, 286. Time with the church and for the generosity and notes of encouragement that we received. And so that was from our graduating seniors, and it was a joy to recognize their accomplishments. I'm glad we were back together and were able to do that. I'll mention a few on the prayer list. We'll be praying for all of those on the prayer list, but the Stacys will be traveling, leaving on Wednesday, and they believe they'll be able to meet with her mother for a couple hours, so pray that that is accomplished. And also, her daughter was in a car accident. Her daughter's okay, but the vehicle needs to be replaced, and so pray that that works out. And then Sister Russell's son, Chris, the cancer has returned, but the doctors cannot do surgery quite yet. And so remember Sister Russell's son, Chris, if you would. Take your songbook, turn to page number 359. Let's stand together as we sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you.
So if you came in another door, the offering pans are up here on the front pew. Also some bulletins, if there are any bulletins left. On the table, that's right, on the table. And so get a bulletin if you didn't get one, and then make yourself available to the offering here on the front pew. And at this time, Sister Stacy Dyer will sing. Opportunity to come be with us this morning. We're glad to have those that are joining us via the internet. I hope they are having a wonderful time paying attention through the media outlet that we have there, and we're thankful that they're with us. Looking forward to what God has for us today. Joshua chapter number 1 is where we'll be. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua Joshua chapter number 1. You know, the Bible commands us as His children that we should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But if we're not careful as God's children, we're paying more attention to the headlines of the news media than we are the content of the actual article. Many of us are just seeing headlines, even as God's children, and we're getting ourselves in trouble. For instance, I read an article yesterday that said that the headlines conveyed a narrative that ticks could possibly transfer the COVID-19 disease. But you read the article, and the article says, this is tick season. It's possible that you could be bitten, and some of the symptoms of a tick bite resemble that of COVID-19. Be very careful just reading headlines. Be very careful just reading headlines. Because fear is going to wreak havoc in our lives if we do not have the knowledge that is there, that's available. So this social media time that we are in, dear friend, I'm telling you, we just see flashing headlines and we do not take time to stop and read. So if you see something, you read it, and you say, wow, that the title doesn't even match what the article is saying. You may be very careful to look up another article on the same subject, because it says to me that the writer is not being openly honest. They're being a little. Or the editor, the writer could have been fine. Just be careful with that, because you're going to make some decisions over the next couple of months about how to live and operate and time that we're in, and you need to be fully aware and have knowledge of what you're going to make a decision on. Don't make knee-jerk decisions. Don't make decisions based on fear. You know, don't make decisions based on what someone else says without checking into it. Even myself, you know, be very careful about that, because we're living in a dangerous time right now in our country. Very dangerous time. And this here taking over of cities and making them autonomous inside our nation because they do not like laws. When they themselves put up laws. Be very careful. Be very careful to look at each other as humans, created in the image and likeness of God. When I look at my church family, I see brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't see nationalities, race, ethnicities. I see brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Be very careful. I'm thankful for the church that God has given us to worship in. But we could be hijacked very easily by the thoughts and ideas that are prevalent. Human life is valuable, very valuable. The soul of a man, no matter the color, or where they were born, or where they were raised, or how they were raised, was a great price paid by the Lord Jesus Christ for all people.
Joshua chapter number 1. The last two Sundays, last Sunday and this Sunday, I have been going with men subjects in the Bible because, of course, next Sunday is what? Father's Day. You say, well, I don't have any children. There's young men that need fathers in this world. The biggest problem that we're seeing in our society is fatherless involvement. Anybody can donate a product to a female. Doesn't make you a father. So just because you don't have children doesn't mean you can't be a father figure to someone. There's young men and young women in our society that need help in that area. So don't check it off because I'm talking and following a line of thought building up to Father's Day. Realize that the Bible teaches us that the older men should be able to train the younger men. And that's a biblical principle, that we are sober-minded and we live in such a way that we are careful to raise up younger men and younger ladies to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it's needful. It is very needful. There's somebody in your neighborhood, that doesn't have a mother or a father. Used to be that the dad would go away, but I'm seeing nowadays that a lot of times the mother is going away. The kids are needing love. They're needing people of God that will show the love of God to them. And so in your neighborhoods, there's somebody that you probably pass and see and have probably thought about this. Why are they playing in the street? Where's their parents? They may not have a parent. I was one of those kids. My mother and father grew up. I got divorced at 5. When I was 5 years old, I played in the streets. I know that was a different time now than this today. But I'm sure there was plenty of my neighbors that said, where is his parents? Why are they not caring for him? No, I'm not blaming my mother, not blaming my father at all. I'm just saying it's a fact of life. It's a fact of life that many of our school teachers teach kids that are from broken homes. And they act out, they act up. Some of them, the kids act up and act out even with parents at home. Because sometimes we as parents are too busy with our own hobbies, doing our own thing, instead of investing in our children. So, well, the rate of return has not been too good. We'll leave that up to God. Only eternity is going to tell us when it's over. But I guarantee you one thing, if you don't invest, it will not be good. It will not be good. So I've been looking at Caleb and Joshua, who lived in a time of human society that had great problems that was none of their own. I'll give you two instances. Caleb and Joshua grew up in bondage by no choice of their own. They may have even been born into bondage. If I go back and study it correctly, we're talking about 400 years here. So they were born in bondage, both of them, Brother James, Caleb and Joshua. Both of them was found faithful coming out of bondage and following the man Moses, in so much that Moses picked those two men to be spies with other 10 men to go out and spy a land that God had promised them. And when they came back, Joshua and Caleb gave a report that God can do this through us. 10 said, no, we can't do this. Joshua and Caleb live through 40 more years of wandering in the wilderness by no fault of their own. By no fault. By all human rationale, they just came out of bondage, being born there by no fault of their own, living in bondage by no fault of their own, and now they're released by the power of God, and then they get to a point in their life where they see their faithfulness to God fixing to become reality. And yet 10 other men gave a false report. And now God's judgment is upon the nation of Israel again, and they would wonder. So by all human rationality, at this point, they could have threw the towel in. They said, look, God, I was born in a situation I didn't choose. I was in bondage, and I didn't choose it. But I was faithful. I brought a faithful report. And now, God, look at what's going on. I'm fixing to have to wander around in this desert for a cause and a reason that was not my fault. And they could have threw in the towel. How many have heard this here? I'm not going back to church because there's hypocrites over there. They throw in the towel because of someone else. Last week when we looked at Caleb at the end of his life said, I am as strong now as I was when I crossed over into that land. And he didn't allow his situation, he didn't allow his circumstances, he didn't allow the people who made bad choices that affected him to come between him and his service and his relationship with his God. Today's thought is the next man up. All through sports and young kids trying to get to the next level. Many times there's kids that play on rec teams and travel ball teams and high school teams and college teams and pro teams that never ever take the field in a real game. They just don't. They just can't get past that next level. Or they may get a little playing time if one of the players gets hurt. But every coach talks to them and tells them and spends time with them and says, you have to be ready when the time comes. When the time comes, we don't have time to go back and train and get you ready. Remember a couple of years ago, and I'm not an Alabama fan, but their quarterback got hurt in the game, or he had a bad game, Jalen Hurts. And at halftime, Coach Saban came out and said to the team or to the coach, the quarterback coach, and he had to look Jalen Hurts in the face. And he had to look at Tua and say, you're the man. It's now. Next man up. Next man up. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that thy sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be our coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only that be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law, which shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And as that Nick Saban began to talk to the team and talk to the coaches, and there's a 15-minute break at halftime, he didn't say to the team, "We've got to get a new playbook." He didn't say to Tua, "Now we're going to have to get your playbook out and we're going to call." You know what happened? Tua had to be ready with that book that they had used all year long. That playbook, the playbook that was before him, he had to go out and play the game that was before him. The offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach and the wide receiver coach could not start in the middle of a game and say, "Okay, let's write up some new plays." The next man up. The next year, Tua played and started as the quarterback while Jalen Hurts sit the bench. Later on that year, Tua got hurt, and guess who had to come in? Jalen Hurts had to come in. They didn't say all of a sudden, "We've got to change again the playbook." Jalen had to shed his pride. We're talking about a quarterback who had won a national championship. We're talking about a quarterback up to that point had only lost two games the year up to that point. He had to shell his prime. He could have came at that point when he lost the starting job. He could have said, "It's time for me to move on." But he stayed. Now, later on he did. Don't you know, he moved on to Oklahoma. But he stayed. And he actually performed very well in that game that Tua got hurt. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We have to be ready for the next man up. Sunday school teachers, deacons, choir leader, pastor, the prophets shall not live forever. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death's door, it can be opened at any moment for any one of us. But the Lord's work has to keep going. And He's given us a playbook that is for our enjoyment, our reading, and for our understanding. And we need to open it up and go. And when God approached Moses and said, "Moses, it's time to come home." Verse 1, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, and said unto him," He said, "Moses, my servant is dead now. Therefore, arise." He didn't say, "We're going to put you off into 4 years of training." The training had already taken part. Do you know about Joshua? That Joshua was asked, I don't even know if it was by Moses or Moses was told by God, but Joshua went up Mount Sinai a portion of the way when Moses went to gain the Ten Commandments, which we know them from God. In Exodus chapter, I believe it's actually Exodus 32, you can find the story. Moses is up there, and he's up there a long time. As he gets the law, he begins to come down, and Joshua's there and meets him at a certain point. I don't know if at a plateau, I don't know if he was 10 feet away, but he was there, and Joshua and Moses has this conversation. There's noise of war in the camp. The training was going on. The training had already been taking place. He was the servant of Moses. The Bible says Moses' minister in verse number 1. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter number 17, verse 13, in the great battle that took place with the Amalek, the nation of Amalek, as Joshua took the sword and he slew the nation of Amalek because God had wrought war with the nation of Amalek. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter number 17, I believe verse 14 and 15, it says this to Moses, Moses, write this in a book and rehearse it with Joshua. Let's look over and see. Look at Exodus. I want you to grasp this. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Look at verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side and the one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it, named it Jehovah Nissi. For he had said, because the Lord had sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. The training had already begun. I'm telling you, friend, if we are not looking to train young men and young women behind us when the time of death approach or the falling of our health or the letdown of our ability to do, we are failing the next generation. Not only are we failing the next generation, we are failing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is God's church. And if I and you are not preparing the next generation, oh, they will get their turn. Their turn is now. Their turn is right now. The next man up. I'm not promised to even finish this sermon. I'm not promised to even get through next week or next month. I'm only promised right now what I have. What are we going to do in investment in our young people? God didn't say, okay, Moses is dead, what are we going to do? Well, let's start a training program. We'll get Moses sent off. We'll get Joshua sent off to Bible college and sword college and general college. We'll get him sent off all these here college. Then we'll bring him back. At that moment, when Moses died, God turned to Joshua and said, "The next man up. The next man up." I don't know why we sometimes believe we're going to live forever. I'm going to tell you, each and every one of us are expendable. God didn't have to have us to have church this morning.
Amen.
He desires to have us. But He said the gates of hell should not prevail against His church. And dear friend, when we don't prepare the next generation, get the next generation ready to serve God, dear friend, we don't present them the option. He said, well, what if they don't partake it? That's on them. But we have to do everything within our power to prepare for when God says, your time is up. This past week, one of the former pastors of Lock Haven Baptist Church, Brother Neil Beard, pastor here for almost 6 years, maybe a little over 6 years, not really exact on that, but he had a stroke, and he had several other strokes behind that. And this past week, he went home to be with the Lord. I'm sure he had plans next month. I'm sure he had plans down the road to do some things, to carry on and to finish the course. But dear friend, the thing about life is that we don't know when our course is over. We're just told to be found faithful to the end. To be found faithful. Many of you know the story of Joshua. At this point, God says to Joshua, cross over the River Jordan. As you go into the River Jordan, there's a city there. Many of the kids sing a song. What's that song? Joshua fought what? The battle of what? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho. Know the song, huh? How many of you know what happened after Jericho? Walls came tumbling down. I mean, just came tumbling down because Joshua was a great, mighty man of valor. And he had catapults and he had cat bulldozers and he had tomahawk missiles. No, you know what he had? He had a group of people said, Joshua says march, we're going to march. Why? Because Joshua's getting his message from God.
Amen.
You know what happens when you don't get your message from God? You know what happens? The very next city they went to, who was that?
Ai.
When they didn't get the message of God, God gave them the message and told them what to do and not to touch and not to take and not to plunder Jericho, and they didn't listen. It carried on. The ripple effect of your decision carries on. And 3,000 men of Israel lost their lives because one man chose to overstep and to walk beyond what God told him to do. And he took a garment and some gold and hid it down into the middle of his tent. And I'll tell you, next man up. Can you imagine coming off the high? All you did was march around Jericho one time one day. I can't do it a bunch of times. And the next time, the next day, one time. The next time, one time. The next day, and the seventh day, all of a sudden Joshua says, we're going to do it seven times today. Okay. All right, Josh. Okay. Can you imagine them? And when we get around that seventh time, we're going to shout. And when the walls fell down, can you imagine with me? As the walls fell down, and then they're in their battle plan meeting. Because now, they saw the mighty hand of God without them raising the sword. And God says, Joshua, they need to go get Ai. This time you can take and you can battle. And you can fight. And you can bring out your catapults and you can send in the submarines and send in the tomahawks. Joshua can go at it. And they got over there to that little town of Ai and got their tails put between their legs and chased off. Can you imagine? The next man up. This is the story of Joshua. This is the story that I'm telling you about with Joshua. And God has a great plan for the life of Joshua. But when you look at it, dear friend, it's not all up on the mountaintops and hunky-dory. It ain't all, just a silver spoon or a gold plate and a brass cup that he can sit there and enjoy the things of life. You understand? He was born in bondage. Born in bondage. Yet on that great Passover night in Exodus chapter 12 that we read about, Not by the power of Israel. Not by the power of the men and the mighty men of Israel, but by the power of God, as they placed blood on the doorposts and the lintels, and the Passover took place, and the death angel passed over. And as the blood was applied, not only did they gain their redemption, they gained freedom. Do you understand that's how you and I were? We were born into bondage. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. But when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the atoning blood of the Lamb of God, dear friend, not only do I gain redemption, but I gain freedom and liberty in Christ Jesus. So we have no excuse to not be serving God. None whatsoever. Joshua had every excuse in the world. You know what he said? God is faithful. I'm going to serve because God is faithful. God had a wonderful, wonderful plan for the life of Joshua. At the end of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua looks out to the nation of Israel and says to them, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you're going to do if you're going to serve the gods of our forefathers. I don't care, but for me and my house, we are going to serve God. God had a great plan for Joshua's life, but it didn't seem like it, did it? It didn't seem like it. Born in bondage, overrode by 10, caused Joshua to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years more than he needed to. Didn't seem like he had it didn't seem like the plan was right. God tells you to cross over Jordan, walk around, the walls of Jericho fall, and then next thing you know, there's Ai, and before you know it, the nation of Israel, the battle of Utah. God, what's going on? You told us we'd everywhere my feet went. You said, God, this was going to be ours. This is going to be ours. Listen, dear friend, God has a plan for your life just like He had for Joshua's, and your circumstances and where you're at and who you grew up in and who you came from and what place you came from and wherever the census places you and whatever society or system or status that they try to force upon you. Dear friend, God has a plan for your life. Your purpose and your plan in your life is in Christ Jesus, not in this old world. And I'm telling you something, dear friend, it's a good plan. Quit settling for second best. Quit settling for that little gold and silver that you can hide in your tent you can't even use. Like Achan. And cause hurt and pain to everybody else around you. It's a good plan, dear friend. And it's a plan that you can know. Well, I'd serve God if I just knew. We know. The Word of God. The Word of God is there and readily available for anybody. The problem is that we have to be totally surrendered to God. Now here I am. I'm yours. And your friends look around, yeah, but man, you got it pretty hard. You think Joshua had it hard, didn't he? I don't know what Joshua's job was during bondage. I don't have no idea. Perhaps he was one of those that had to go out and make the brick. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us that, but the Bible does say that he was a man, and all the men went out and worked. I don't know, maybe he went out and got the hay and had to gather the hay after Pharaoh said, you're not getting no more of my hay, get your own hay. I have no idea what exactly his job was, but I do know this, he was born in a hard circumstance. So you may be coming from a hard family, a difficult family, but I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Your situation, where you're from and who you are, does not define what God wants for you. You can know God's plan. And I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. It's available immediately. I don't know why we think we got to get God's will for our life when we're 40, 45 years old. I have no idea why we're convinced ourselves we won't be able to know until we're mature and way down the road. Samuel wasn't weaned from his mama at 47. What are you talking about, Pastor? When he was weaned, his mama took him to the temple, dropped him off, and in the nighttime he heard the voice of God. I don't know why we are allowing ourselves to mature at 30 years of age. This is ridiculous. I'm telling you, sometimes, parents, we're just going to have to cut the PlayStation off ourselves.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to move on because I'm going to get stuck right there.
God has a plan for you, just like he had a plan for Joshua's life. What was Joshua's plan? Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That was God's plan for Moses. Second thing I want you to know is God gave Joshua a promise for every situation that would come up. I don't know why we sometimes believe God checks out on us in June, picks back up with us in September, and then in December, he's with us on Thursdays and Fridays, but the other days of the week, he's not really there. This is what it said in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Well, that's a good blessing there for Joshua. And I'm glad God told him that. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 13. So you know he's the God of the Old Testament, God of the New Testament. In verse 6, there it is, Brother John. Thank you. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave. For every situation, God has a plan. God has a way and a promise that will help us get through this. And you know, the defeat, listen, downtimes are coming. You can't tell me the defeat at AI wasn't a little bit of downtime, Brother Jim. Can you think about it for a moment as Joshua went back to his tent when he got the report? Sought his heart. What did happen? What did I do? And then he said, I'm clean. I'm clear. I've done what I could. Line up the nation of Israel, man by man, and God, show us the sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And the lot fell on Achan. It was a time that he could have said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? But he had a promise. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a great God we serve. The promises that are ours. Though financial upheaval may take place in our life, though relationship problems may take place in our life, health situations come about in our life, he says, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee, except when you have X, Y, or Z. It's not there, is it? Not there at all. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Oh, what a promise. The plan that God had for Joshua's life wasn't always the easy road. The promises that he had for every situation, dear friend, was constant and unconditional. We have a God that is same yesterday, today, and forever. For whatever situation you're facing, I don't know. I don't know where your heart is. I'm not walking through your shoes. I'm not sailing in your boat, dear friend, but I'm telling you, the God of this universe, if you're His child, He loves you. You can call out to Him as Abba Father, and His promises are yea and amen. God had a plan for Joshua. God has a plan for you. God had a promise for Joshua. God has a promise for you and I. And God wants us to know the secret to godly success. This book of the law. Look here in verse number 7. Only be thou strong, very courageous. Thou mayest observe to do according to all, A-L-L, all means all, and that's all will ever mean, is all. To all the law. I don't know why we think this is Whopper time, Burger King. I want it my way. Observe to do according to all of the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Yeah, that was good for, 200 years ago. I don't think it's too good now, Pastor. We passed that. We're in the new millennium. No, don't turn from the right hand or to the left, and thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after you have meditated day and night, observed all that's therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. There's a whole lot of books been written. Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says of writing of the books, there's no end. I've got some books that I've read, some authors I read, and some of their books, I can read them all the way through. Some of them after the first chapter, oh my God, what is this I'm reading? Dry, not interesting to me. Well, Ryan here reads like a nobody. He's borrowed several of my books, and the ones he's asked for, I think, Lord have mercy, I hope he can get through them. I didn't even want to read those things. I got some books, I'm telling you, dear friend, I go in and I look at just a particular chapter for a thought, an idea, or something. I just can't do it. Some of them are just beautiful, just flows, my mind stays with it. Some of them are so boring. Just boring. Some of them I think I'd rather be waterboarded like 6 times before I read them again. I'm just telling you. There's one book, dear friend, that reveals the God of this universe to me as an individual. When I was seeking salvation, I found it in the book. When works of righteousness and the void that was in my heart and the emptiness that I faced, my pastor on a Wednesday night took the Word of God and showed me that I was a sinner, showed me that Christ died for the ungodly, showed me that there is a wage that I must pay for my sin, but there's a gift of God that is eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. And he said and showed me the Scripture, if any man will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth, he shall be saved. And I trusted Christ. I found it in the Word of God. I didn't find it off in some other book. I found it in the Word of God. Listen, dear friend, and when I began to seek which direction God would lead my life and begin to follow the footsteps of God for my life, I found the written Word of God as my compass and my direction. And as I followed the Word of God that is written and revealed to all men, He began to steer my heart in a direction and say, not only do I want you to follow the written Word of God, now I want you to walk in this path and be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did I find that? In the Bible. In the Bible, dear friend. Guidance day by day. What to do in this situation. How to do it in that situation. How to act in this situation. I find it in the Word of God. And I seek it. And I look at it. And it's a light under my path. And it just it's right there in front of me. And it lights. And I don't stumble. And I don't fall. If I keep my foot on the path that God has set for me.
Amen.
It said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I hope you read that again. Let's read verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Talking to Joshua. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, Joshua, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein, Joshua. For then, who's going to make their way prosperous? God's speaking. Thou, Joshua, you know why you're going to have a prosperous way? Because God's way is prosperous. When you walk in God's way, you'll find prosperity. Not Cadillacs, but godly contentment and prosperity in God's way. And then he says, and then thou, Joshua, shalt have good success. And it's there, the Bible. God has a plan for me, and my plan, my life shall not always be easy. But God will always be with me. That's the promise. How do I know all this, preacher? By the book. I posted something this week about people complaining about a silent God in the same way, likening it unto someone complaining not getting text when their phone is turned off. You're not going to open the Bible, dear friend. How are you going to hear from God? God has a plan for me, has a plan for you, and He has a promise of grace and sufficiency that would get me through every problem. Every problem. His Word, dear friend, is a food for my hungry soul. And if I hunger and thirst after it, dear friend, I will eat meat one day instead of drink milk. And I'll no longer be a carnal Christian thrown to and fro in the world that is upside down. I have a solid foundation, and that foundation is the Word of God. You know what Joshua said? I'll walk with God, even if I have to walk alone. Is that what he said in Joshua 24? You do what you want to do, but even if I have to walk alone, I'm walking with God. Next man up. And listen, dear friend, I know that I expect that I'm going to have at least 20 more years in this. That's what I expect. That might be God's expectation. You know, I could have a stroke tomorrow and be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. Can happen. Pastor Beard had plans. The next man up. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Candace is coming. Brother Jim's on his way. Perhaps there's somebody here lost this morning, don't know Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Would you come? Let me take the Bible and show you what God says about eternity. If you never ever become a member of Lock Haven Baptist Church, one day I'd like to see you in heaven. And the only way that can take place is you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Not religion. Not works that you can ponder up and do with your own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. Would you come, let me take the Bible and show you what God says about eternity. Maybe a child of God. And this old time that we're living in has just stomped you down. You're in a down time. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Why don't you come spend some time with God? What page, bro? 341, church.
Jesus.